A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one. He's trying to figure out whether to buy a borescope, and if so, which one. He's got weak AC in one room and wants to know if it's a damper issue he can fix or a coil problem that needs a pro. He's been trying to run fish wire down conduit, and he's still got the memory of a roof leak from the old place where they couldn't tell if water was traveling behind the wall. His question is basically, can one camera do all three jobs? What specs actually matter, and what's a realistic budget?
This is the exact moment where most people open Amazon, type borescope, and buy the first thing with 4.5 stars and a coupon. And that's how you end up with a $60 paperweight that shows you a blurry gray blob where your HVAC damper should be.
The blurry gray blob is the diagnostic finding of the budget borescope.
It really is. And Daniel's timing is perfect. July, AC season, one room not cooling. That's either a 15-minute fix with a screwdriver or a $200 service call where the guy shows up, pokes a camera in the vent, and tells you what you could have seen yourself.
Let's break down what you actually need to look for, starting with the three jobs this camera has to do. HVAC duct inspection for weak airflow, conduit pathfinding for fish wire, and roof leak tracing behind walls. Each one pulls the specs in a different direction, and the challenge is finding one camera that doesn't fail at any of them.
This is the thing about borescopes. They sit at this weird crossroads. For some people, it's a buy-it-for-life tool. You're the kind of person who opens walls and runs conduit and wants to know what's happening in your own house. For others, it's a gadget they use once to find a drop screw behind the dryer, and then it lives in a drawer for 5 years. The spec trade-offs change completely depending on which camp you're in.
Daniel's clearly in the first camp. He's describing three distinct diagnostic scenarios, not, I want to look at stuff.
And that word, diagnostic, is the key. A diagnostic borescope isn't just for looking, it's for making decisions. Do I call the HVAC guy or not? Is that a crack or a shadow? Is the conduit blocked or just tight? The camera has to give you information you can act on.
Which brings us to the first and most misunderstood spec. Here's why 1080p is the floor, not the ceiling.
Here's what's happening in the market right now. If you search borescopes on Amazon, you'll find dozens of models under $70 that say HD 1080p right in the title. Maybe a little 2K badge. And what they're actually shipping is a 640 by 480 sensor with software interpolation. The camera captures VGA resolution, that's about 300,000 pixels, and then the app stretches it to fill your phone screen.
It's non-HD. It's VGA wearing an HD trench coat.
That's exactly what it is. And the reason this matters for Daniel's use case is that 640 by 480 cannot resolve a hairline crack in a roof membrane. It can't show you whether that dark spot on a duct joint is corrosion or just a shadow. At that resolution, a pinhole leak and a speck of dirt look identical.
I've seen comparison footage of this. A 640 camera pointed at a roof seam where there's a tiny tear, and it just looks like a slightly darker line. Same shot with a real 1080p sensor, and you can see the edges of the tear, the membrane separation, all of it. One tells you something might be wrong. The other tells you, this is exactly what's wrong and where.
The scam is particularly annoying because on a phone screen, the VGA footage looks, it's a small screen, the image is moving, your brain fills in the gaps. The problem comes when you freeze the frame and zoom in to check a joint or a fitting. That's when you realize there's no actual detail there.
What's the real resolution floor?
1920 by 1080 true 1080p, not interpolated, is the minimum for diagnostic work. And in 2026, the reputable brands have mostly moved there. Teslong's TG100, which is about $80, ships a genuine 1080p sensor in a 5.5mm camera head. Depstek's DS300, around $90, same thing. These aren't premium specs anymore. They're baseline for anything that isn't a toy.
Then there's 2K, 2560 by 4040, which some models in the 120 to 150 range are shipping now.
And 2K is genuinely nice to have. It gives you cropping room. you can capture a wider view and then zoom in digitally without losing diagnostic detail. For conduit work especially, where you might spot a partial blockage or a kink from a few inches away, that extra resolution helps.
What about 4K? There are borescopes advertising 4K now.
Overkill, and here's why. The limiting factor in a borescope isn't the sensor resolution, it's the lens aperture and the lighting. You've got a tiny lens, maybe 2 or 3 millimeters across, in a dark cavity. The amount of light that lens can gather is physically limited. A 4K sensor in that setup isn't capturing 4K worth of detail, it's capturing 1080p worth of detail spread across more pixels. You're just getting larger files of the same information.
It's the camera equivalent of a sports car in a parking garage.
All that horsepower, nowhere to use it. Save your money. 1080p is the floor, 2K is the sweet spot for future-proofing, 4K is marketing.
Alright, next spec. Daniel mentioned conduit and roof-to-wall tracing. How long is long enough?
Here's the trap. A lot of the cheap borescopes ship with a 3.3-foot cable, 1 meter. And that sounds like a lot until you actually try to use it. A standard HVAC floor register to the first duct junction can be 6 to 8 feet. A wall cavity from the attic down to a suspected leak point can be 10 to 12 feet. A conduit run from an outlet box to the breaker panel might be 15 feet. 1 meter is useless for all of these.
It's the borescope equivalent of a wrench that only reaches the first bolt.
The minimum viable length for home diagnostics is 16.5 feet, 5 meters. That gets you from a register to a duct junction, down most wall cavities, and through typical residential conduit runs. The Teslong TG100 and Depstek DS300 both ship at 16.5 feet, and that's not a coincidence. They've identified the home user sweet spot.
Daniel mentioned roof leak tracing specifically. If you're going from the attic down a wall cavity to find where water is traveling, 16.5 feet might be tight.
It can be. A two-story house tracing from the roofline down to a ceiling stain on the first floor. You could need 20 to 25 feet. The 33-foot option, 10 meters, gives you headroom for that. The Klein Tools ET450, which is about $180, ships with 33 feet and it's designed for pros who never want to come up short.
Is there a downside to going longer?
1. Cable management. A 33-foot cable is a lot of cable to coil and uncoil, and it gets tangled if you're not careful. 2. Signal degradation in analog models. But that's mostly a non-issue now because anything worth buying is digital. The camera has a processor in the handle or the connector that digitizes the signal before it travels, so 33 feet of digital cable is fine. 33 feet of analog cable from a 2015 model would be a mess.
The recommendation is 16.5 feet minimum, 33 feet if you've got a two-story house or long conduit runs.
If you're only doing one-story work and short runs, 16.5 is plenty. Don't pay for cable you won't use.
This is where I think most people don't realize how bad the cheap ones are.
It's the single biggest differentiator between a usable image and a useless one. Here's the physics problem. You're in a completely dark cavity. The only light is what the camera brings with it. If the LEDs are too bright and fixed at one level, they wash out anything within 3 inches. The light bounces off a wet pipe or a metal duct and blows out the whole image. If they're too dim, anything beyond 6 inches disappears into shadow.
The cheap ones just pick one brightness level and call it a day.
Fixed brightness, usually too bright, and only 2 or 4 LEDs around the lens, so you've got harsh directional light creating glare on every reflective surface. In a drain pipe with standing water, it's like pointing a flashlight at a mirror. You can't see anything.
What should you look for instead?
Adjustable brightness, minimum 6 LEDs, ideally 8. The dimming control is non-negotiable. You want to be able to dial it down when you're close to a shiny surface and crank it up when you're trying to see something 8 inches away in a duct. This feature alone separates the sub-$70 cameras from the 80 and up models.
There's another lighting feature that matters for Daniel's HVAC use case, specifically, side view capability.
When you're inspecting an HVAC duct, you're not just looking forward. You want to see the damper position, which is usually on the side of the duct, or the coil face, or the condition of the duct walls. A forward-only camera means you're staring straight ahead at whatever's in front of you, which, in a duct, is often just more duct.
The solution is a side view mirror attachment.
A little angled mirror that clips onto the camera head. It reflects the side view into the forward-facing lens. It's not as good as a true articulating head or a dual camera system, those cost $200 and up. But for home use, a mirror attachment is perfectly adequate. The Depstek DS300 includes one in the box. Teslong sells them separately for a few bucks.
Camera head diameter. Daniel mentioned conduit. How small does the head need to be?
5 millimeters is the standard for getting through tight spaces. That fits through most drain traps, through standard half-inch conduit elbows, and through small access holes. An 8mm head is more durable. The housing is thicker, the LEDs are larger, but it may not pass a tight 90-degree bend in conduit.
For Daniel's three use cases, 5.5 millimeters is the answer.
It's the right call. HVAC vents have plenty of room, but conduit and wall cavities can be tight. The smaller head also lets you drill a smaller access hole if you need to make one. A 5.5 millimeter camera fits through a quarter-inch hole.
Now that we know what specs matter, let's talk about what happens when you get them wrong, and how to avoid the common traps.
The most expensive mistake is buying a camera that's too short. You've drilled an access hole, you've got the camera in the wall, you're 6 feet down and the cable runs out. Now you're guessing. Is the leak above the point you reached? You just spent money on a tool that gave you no answer.
The second most expensive mistake is the fixed brightness glare problem. You're looking for a leak in a drain pipe. There's residual water, the LEDs blast it, and the whole screen goes white. You literally cannot see the thing you bought the camera to find.
There's a subtler failure mode with VGA cameras that I want to highlight. Let's say you're inspecting an HVAC damper. The damper is partially closed. That's why the room isn't getting airflow. With a VGA camera, you see a vague metal shape. You can kind of tell it's not fully open. But you can't see the set screw, you can't see the linkage, you can't tell if it's stuck or just adjusted wrong. With 1080p, you see the whole mechanism. You know exactly what you're dealing with.
The difference between something's wrong and here's what's wrong and how to fix it.
That's the diagnostic threshold, and it's worth the extra $30 or $40 every single time.
Let's talk about connectivity. Wi-Fi versus USB-C. Daniel's going to be using this with his phone, presumably.
Most consumer borescopes now are Wi-Fi. They create their own hotspot, you connect your phone, you use an app to see the feed and capture images. It's convenient. No cables except the camera itself. The downside is latency. There's typically a half second to 2 second delay between moving the camera and seeing it on screen. For HVAC inspection, that's fine. For delicate work where you're trying to position the camera exactly at a joint or a crack, it's annoying. The Wi-Fi models have a battery in the handle that powers the camera and the Wi-Fi radio. Most give you 2 to 4 hours of continuous use. The problem is that cheap models often have non-replaceable batteries. When it dies, the tool is garbage. The reputable brands use rechargeable batteries that you can replace, or they charge via USB-C and can run while plugged in.
The USB-C Direct Connect models avoid the latency issue entirely.
You plug the camera into your phone or laptop, and the feed is essentially real-time. No battery to worry about, no Wi-Fi dropouts. The trade-off is, you're tethered. Your phone is physically connected to a 16-foot cable that's disappearing into a wall. It's less convenient, but more reliable.
Is there a model that does both?
Some of the newer ones are starting to offer dual mode. Wi-Fi for convenience, USB-C for when you need low latency or the battery dies. It's not universal yet, but it's the direction the market is moving. If you can find a model with both, that's the ideal.
Let's get concrete about budget. What are the real price bands, and what do you actually get?
Band 1, under $50. These are the no-name Amazon brands, names like Yimag and Deco, and a dozen others that change every 6 months. They advertise HD, they show crisp photos in the listing, and what arrives is a 640 by 480 sensor with fixed LEDs, a non-replaceable battery, and an app that hasn't been updated since 2022. The cable is usually 3.3 or 5 feet. These are not diagnostic tools, they're toys.
The fake resolution spec is the real insult.
It's rampant. They take the VGA sensor output and run it through software that invents pixels. The file says 1920 by 1080, but the information content is 640 by 480. It's like photocopying a postage stamp and calling it a poster. $80 to $150. This is the sweet spot. You're getting real 1080p sensors, 16.5 to 33 foot cables, adjustable LED brightness with 6 to 8 lights, 5.5 millimeter heads, and apps that actually work. Teslong and Depstek dominate this range. The Teslong TG100 at about $80 gives you 1080p, 16.5 feet, adjustable LEDs, and a 5.5 millimeter head. The Depstek DS300 at about $90 adds Wi-Fi, a side mirror attachment, and a slightly better app.
The Klein Tools ET450 at $180.
That's the prosumer crossover. 1080p, 33 feet, IP67 waterproofing, you can submerge it, and a build quality that survives job sites. No Wi-Fi though, it's USB-C or proprietary screen only. It's designed for electricians and HVAC techs who need ruggedness and length above all else.
For Daniel, who's doing home diagnostics across three use cases, the Teslong TG100 or Depstek DS300 are the two to look at.
Those are the ones. The DS300 has a slight edge because of the included side mirror and the Wi-Fi convenience, but the Teslong is a bit cheaper and has a loyal following for build quality. Either one will do all three jobs.
There's something you said earlier. I want to circle back to the app situation. What's the actual failure pattern with bad boroscope apps?
The most common one is connection instability. The Wi-Fi hotspot drops every few minutes, and you have to reconnect. In the middle of a diagnostic, that's maddening. Second is image saving. Some apps compress the captured images so aggressively that you lose the diagnostic detail you bought the camera to capture. You take a photo of a crack, and the saved file is a JPEG so crushed that the crack disappears.
You're diagnosing the diagnosis.
That's why I always tell people, when the camera arrives, test it immediately. Put it in a dark box with some objects, a coin, a screw, a piece of wire, and run through the full workflow. Connect, adjust brightness, capture photos, save them, zoom in. If the app crashes or the images are garbage, return it. Don't wait until you've got a leak and an open wall.
That's good advice. The return window is your testing period.
Amazon's return policy is your friend here.
Alright, let's land this plane. Here's the exact shopping list you should take with you. Minimum 180p real resolution, not interpolated. 5-foot cable minimum, 33 feet if you've got a two-story house. Adjustable LED brightness with at least 6 LEDs. 5mm camera head diameter. Wi-Fi and ideally USB-C connectivity. Budget $80 to $150.
The specific models, Depstek DS300 at around $90 or Teslong TG100 at around $80, both hit every spec on that list. The Klein ET450 is the upgrade pick if you want 33 feet and pro-grade ruggedness, but you give up Wi-Fi.
Avoid anything under $70 that claims HD. It's lying to you.
The borescope market is one of the worst categories on Amazon for spec inflation. It's right up there with power banks and Bluetooth speakers. The brand names, Teslong, Depstek, Klein, Rigid, they don't play that game. The no-names do.
One last thing to think about. Where is this technology going next?
This is the part that excites me. There are industrial borescopes now that do on-device AI analysis. Automatic crack detection, corrosion scoring, moisture mapping. The camera identifies anomalies and flags them in real time. That's currently a $5,000 tool for pipeline inspectors.
It's coming down.
It always does. I think within 5 years, we'll see consumer borescopes that can tag potential issues in the app. Possible crack detected at 42 feet and generate a report you can send to a contractor. The camera stops being just a camera and becomes a documentation tool.
Which changes the value proposition entirely. You're not just looking, you're building a record of your home's infrastructure over time. Here's what this duct looked like in July 2026. Here's what it looks like now.
For insurance claims, roof leaks, water damage, having time-stamped, annotated footage from inside the wall is the difference between a quick claim and a fight.
The $100 today is not just for the current problem. It's for the library of diagnostic data you're going to build over the next decade.
That's exactly how to think about it.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1970s, researchers discovered that axolotls can regenerate the same limb over 100 times without scarring. If a human could do that at the same rate, a person who lost an arm at age 20 would have regrown the equivalent of 17 arms by retirement.
17 arms.
That's a lot of arms, Hilbert.
Thanks for that. This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. If you've got a weird prompt, a tool you wish existed, a problem you can't solve, a buying decision where the specs are lying to you, send it to us. We'll research it, test it, and tell you what actually works. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
Or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com. We read everything.
Go buy the right borescope, not the blurry one.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.